Let's turn to the scriptures again, this time to John 20 again, this time from verse 19. John chapter 20 from verse 19 through 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of God. Peter and John have now believed. Mary has seen Jesus with her own eyes. And now Jesus appears to all the disciples, except Thomas. We'll come to him later. You can picture them in your minds, can't you? Gathered together, the doors barred for fear of the secret police. Their leader, after all, has just been put to death. Maybe they'll come after the followers next, mop up the followers. But locked doors are no barrier to Jesus. He simply came and stood among them. He showed them his hands. He showed them his side. And if there's something new about Jesus' risen body which would account for Mary's initial confusion when she saw him, the nail marks in Jesus' hands and the gash of the spear in his side remove any doubt. It's the Lord. Peter and John's initial reports have proven true. Mary's breathless report to them earlier that Jesus had risen wasn't a dream or a wish, it was reality. And he extends peace to them. Peace be with you. This is peace. This is shalom, wholeness, goodness, delight, friendship with God, won through the cross. For the cross it was war towards God. Now it is peace through new life in Jesus. And with new life comes the breath of life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He formed man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into Adam. And Adam became a living soul. And now Jesus breathes on his disciples as a symbol of the new life through the Spirit that they would receive on the day of Pentecost. Jesus breathes new life. And so I ask this morning, have you received this new life which Jesus breathes? Does that new life, that breath of God, does that live in you? You might ask me this morning, how might I know? There's one thing that Jesus highlights, and that is a sense of participation in the mission of God. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, you people to whom I have breathed my Spirit. I am sending you to be my witnesses, Jesus is saying. I am commissioning you to give testimony to me. Go forth in his name, proclaiming Jesus reigns. For that's why we're here. It's good to stop every now and again and remind ourselves we are not just marking time on the way to heaven. Jesus went to his Father and our Father. We are not just marking time until we go there also. That's not why we've been given new life and peace. Not to hold on to for ourselves, but to share with all, far and wide. That's why Jesus sent his Spirit at Pentecost in fullness to equip his church, to fill her with the strength that she needed for the mission that he had given her, a gospel mission. That's why Jesus mentions forgiveness. You see, forgiveness comes through a believing response to the gospel, to the good news of the gospel. An absence of forgiveness comes through a rejection of the good news of the gospel. Both come from the gospel. Both come from the ministry of speaking words that Jesus gives to his fledgling church. So this Easter Sunday, we do well as a church to refocus ourselves on the mission that Jesus has given us. Personal peace and forgiveness? Yes, for sure. But peace and forgiveness intended to share for the blessing of the world. Psalm 67 declares, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us." Still, it's personal. It's the focus is on us. But may God do those things. May he be gracious and bless us. Make his face shine upon us. Why? That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you as they hear of gospel peace as Jesus' church goes out on her mission. The final reading in John chapter 20 begins at verse 24. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Seeing is believing, we say. No picks, didn't happen. And so John now gives us Thomas. Thomas, the modern man. Thomas isn't one to follow cleverly invented stories or myths or legends or old wives' tales. He'll only accept proof if it stands right before him and he can see it with his own two eyes. And Jesus very graciously provides Thomas with the proof he needs. We often rebuke Thomas, but Jesus doesn't. There's no rebuke for Thomas when Jesus appears to his disciples again, this time with Thomas present. Jesus just invites Thomas to put his hands in the nail holes and his hand in Jesus' side. "Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe." And Thomas is given for us. He's given for anyone who doubts that Jesus really did rise to new life again. He's given so that we can see a skeptical, hard-to-convince person grapple with the evidence and be won over by the evidence. Jesus is no longer here on earth for us to put our fingers in his hands or our hands in his side. But the testimony of a person who needed that persuasion is preserved for us, that we too may be able to overcome our own doubts and believe. And our belief is a better belief. That surprises us. But it's clearly the teaching of Jesus himself written for us. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those." How happy is the condition? How favored are those who have not seen and yet have believed? And in this, I think John is contrasting his own belief at the tomb earlier on. Remember how John said that he saw and believed, but didn't understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise again? That was John, in a sense, criticizing himself. That is, John is saying to us that understanding how the story of the Bible unfolds and the entire Bible points forward to this moment in history when the Son of God would rise from the dead is so much better. You see, John is saying to us that belief is grounded in more than eyewitness testimony. It's grounded, and this is the bit that surprises us, in something more sure, more certain than seeing with your own eyes. It's grounded in the testimony of God Himself to us in His Word. Friends, Jesus performed many miracles. Jesus demonstrated throughout the course of His life on earth and His ministry, He demonstrated His divine nature and authority. Jesus showed Himself to be the Son of God with power. Only a small snippet of the miracles that Jesus did are written here in the Gospel of John. There were too many to include them all. But these are written. These miracles that I have carefully selected for you, these ones are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And that's what matters this Easter. That you come to believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the promised Savior, that Jesus is I Am, God in flesh appearing. That Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sins and rose again from the dead in newness of life. So seek a new life. Seek new life in Jesus today. Confess your sins to Him. Believe in Him. Stake your life upon Him and you will not be disappointed. Find peace, discover purpose, encounter the living God.